Good afternoon. What's going on, everybody? How are you all doing this afternoon? Welcome to Dylan Talks Tone. Welcome to the Just Gonna Say It podcast. And we're going to talk about Grail guitars today. And we're also going to talk about, I think, my new favorite product of the week that I want to get my hands on. So we'll chat about that for a little bit. Please do me a favor, hit the subscribe button and the like button if you like guitar stuff, because that's what we do just about every day of the week here. And then I also want to tell you about Dylan Talks Tone. Down below, there's a link for that too. You can go buy pickups. Also, our Off Topic, our other channel. In case you want to know anything about us that's not guitar related, the Dylan and Leslie channel is linked down there as well. You guys are awesome. So cool. Let's get jamming on this thing. It's Tuesday, and things are crazy around here. We have been absolutely bonkers busy. So here's what I think I teased this a couple of times this week, and we want to talk about Grail guitars. Now let's And I am actually going to try to timestamp this stuff. That's what I'm writing down right now. Let's try to concentrate on more than one thing at a time. So let's try to define Grail guitar here. Okay, so this could be one guitar. This could be a collection of guitars. This could be a bunch of guitars. This could just be stuff that you are dreaming of. We've had so many conversations over the last few weeks, and you're probably tired of hearing about it, but I think the world needs to hear about it, okay? Cheap guitars are cool. Less expensive guitars are cool. We all need them for various reasons. We don't even need to get into why. But what I don't want to do is I don't want to be part of a thing that causes a race to the bottom, where we're always looking for the cheapest thing for the money, that kind of thing. Now, to serve a need totally makes sense, whether that's budget or the situation, or you don't want to beat your nice guitar up, or whatever. You want an inexpensive guitar to mod. There's all kinds of reasons to have them, right? Super cool. That's what they're for. And we love that. In fact, that's what Dylan Talks Tone does. We make pickups for those guitars, right? We upgrade pickups in guitars. So that's really cool. That's what they're for. That's what not what this conversation is about. This is not the best guitar for the money. This is not anything. This is, what did you have? I know for sure. I know this for sure. That those of you who are of any amount of age did not have a Dodge Reliant K car on your wall as a dream car. Okay. Those of you that are younger than that, you did not have a Pontiac Aztec on your wall as a dream car. You did not have a Ford Escort, unless it's one of those really cool rally ones from England. We won't get into that. You did not have, I don't know. You didn't have anything ugly on your wall, you know, right? Like, it was always something that you were aspiring to. Even if you knew you could never have it, it was still cool to look at it. And I know for sure that a lot of you go to websites, whether it be, I don't know what you're into. I'll just tell you some things that I'm into. Okay. So, I was looking at a $21,000 fountain pen this morning. Am I going to buy it? No, absolutely not. Even if I could afford it, I probably wouldn't buy it, but it's cool to look at it. It's neat. And the work that went into it and the craftsmanship's really cool. You know, there's $3,000 pocket knives that I think are beautiful pieces of art. Would I ever buy one? No, but it's still fun to look. It's still fun to think about that kind of stuff. And it's just fun. So in that conversation, AMC Pacer, exactly. So what I would like to do is I would like to chat with you for a few minutes today about what your Grail guitars are. What are your dream guitars? What are the things that, and this is no money object. This is no time object. This is how we get a place. This is how, I own a Grail guitar that I didn't know that I was going to have ever. I own it now, but it took me 40 years of playing to get there. seeing other people around me have it. It's my D28. That's one of my grail guitars. Not on this list. I made five new ones. But that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about the things that you dream of and that you want and love. Okay. Now, this does not have to be dependent on your skill. This does not have to be just because you think something is cool doesn't mean you have to be good enough to use it. Right? That's dumb. You could own a fast car and enjoy shining on it. 99% of guys that have fast motorcycles cannot ride them the way they should be ridden. I know, because when I pull up behind them and I see those chicken strips on the side of the tire, I can tell they never, ever lean that thing over. That's not my motorcycle, but you can definitely tell. So it doesn't matter. They think it's cool. They love it. So they buy a cool motorcycle. That's what we're talking about here. Just cool things because they're cool. And so I want everybody to dream with me today. That's what we want. So let's go through a few and let's see. I want to see what you guys are saying first, because this is fun. So I'm going to start from the bottom up. Let's get those likes going. Thank you. I appreciate that. Let's see. So we've got a Gibson Heritage Elite, so an 80, so you want to go kind of vintage-y. Let's see here, 335. You have some stuff, so it's hard to come up with other stuff that you want. I get that. I pretty much aspire to skill acquisition now that your equipment meets a certain standard. But there's got to be something you dream of. There's got to be something that you see, that an artist that you follow, that something, there's got to be something that you just enjoy. Early 70s Tele Deluxe. That's really a cool option. Black Beauty Les Paul is a great idea. Let's see. The Edges Black on Black Maple Neck 70 Strat. That is fantastic. I dig that a lot. Why are you giving me a thumbs down? You know this is fun. Let's see. What else do we got here? A Plymouth Neon. Yes, we know nobody's dreaming of a Plymouth Neon. They did have that one fast one, though, but it blew head gaskets a lot. Let's see. The Reliant was a beast. Schecter Tempest. Well, that's interesting. A build from K-Line. Now, that's really cool. And, of course, a TTG. I get that, too. I want a custom shop Les Paul with access heel and no Floyd. Very cool. Cool, cool. We're digging this. So there's a bunch of stuff in here. People are really loving this, man. This is awesome. All right. Well, that's kind of the idea. Also love my 66 ES-175. Ooh, so you already have something. Gibson Johnny A. Martin D28 has been my grail guitar. Dude, let me tell you. I know that guitar is expensive, but in the grand scheme of things, a few years of saving up or some Sweetwater fiddling, make it a goal to buy one. That guitar is just, it stops my, I don't know. It literally stops time. I can sit down and that guitar just, I don't care about anything else. It is so good. And I have some really good guitars. My other acoustic, my Breedlove and my McPherson are unbelievable guitars. But there's something about a D28, like a proper Martin, that every other guitar is trying to be, that guitar is just it. It is amazing. And what's really funny is I was going to buy a D35 because I love the back and I love the bound neck and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, no, even the D35 is an evolution of the D28. The D28 is what everything else is trying to be. I want the thing. You know what I mean? And that was absolutely the right choice. PRS private stock. Okay, so let's get into a couple of honorable mentions for me. These did not make my top five. This did not make my top five, But I'm going to tell you, because you guys have given me a couple ideas that I forgot to write down for this. And one of them is a PRS private stock. It didn't make my top five, but it's something that I've seen and I think about a lot. I think about buying a PRS in general, even just a CE24, something cool, doesn't matter. Just a proper PRS. I don't mean like, I have a Fiore and I have a Silver Sky, but I don't consider those to be what we think of as a PRS, right? So I want a double cut, fancy wood, probably in some sort of blue or green, or maybe pink or purple, but not gold, you know, not like just fancy wood for fancy wood's sake. It's got to be some kind of crazy color for me. So some kind of, you know, the denim blue thing, the green, that really bright green, you know, something fun, right? And just really over the top. That's what I would really, really like to have if I was to have one of those. The only downside for it for me personally is that I have all kinds of other things that I want instead. So that's way down on the list. That's why it is a kind of a not a runner-up, but an honorable mention. And somebody else just reminded me of another one. And here's what I would say is, a lot of my honorable mention guitars are going to be custom builds by people that I know and love. Doug Cower. I would love to have a Doug Cower guitar. I would love to have a Lucky Dog from Anthony Sims. You know, I just got a Texas Toast guitar. But those guitars to me are kind of runners up because, again, those are kind of, I don't want to say copies, but they're a thing that is their own things. You'll see on this list, I want the standard. I want what, in my mind, I want what everything else is trying to be. Like, that to me is what I am very, very interested in. So yeah, let's see. You have your Grail guitar, your Les Paul standard. Isn't that cool when you get to do that? And it's funny, it doesn't have to be some crazy thing, right? And that's why. Because the Les Paul standard is just, it's the standard. It's the guitar, you know? It's not trying to be anything because it is the thing. And that, to me, that's what's important to me. That I like having that feeling of those things. So I tell you what. Let me give you number five, and I'm actually going to show you a version of, we're going to give you number five. Let's see here. Number five on my list is going to be this guy right here. So this is going to be any early 60s pre-CBS Strat build, either a legit one from the year or a custom shop version like the one you see here. I would rather have it have a rosewood neck, okay? And I would rather it be a darker colored guitar. And to me, a Strat needs to be nasty. I want this thing to be dirty and gross and nasty. Like, that to me is how I want my Strat. If I want an old one, or if I want something that is giving me the feeling of being old, I want it to be nasty. I want it to be completely just ruined. That is what I want, because I really, really love the feeling of a beat up old guitar if it is done properly, whether it's by legit wear because it's a real one that would be $30,000, or one of these that's, you know, between $6,000 and $10,000, depending on which custom shop one you get. That is probably my number one thing is a Strat. Or number five. That's my number five, which is really funny, you might think, because I'm really into Strats, but number five. an original 70s Stratocaster. That's pretty cool. Strandberg J7. Interesting. Yeah, these are great. These are great things. I love it. Any player grade Strat from 1964, only because it's my birth year and it would cost me between 12 and 20K. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. I would probably, realistically, I could buy a custom shop one like the one you just saw. It wouldn't be that one. That's, I would have to shop for quite a while and look for the right one. But it would have to be either that or a vintage one, you know, obviously. If we're just dreaming and we're not being practical, I probably would want an actual vintage one. But even then, I don't know, because I would not want to be afraid to play it. I could buy a custom shop Strat and not be afraid to play it and gig it and stuff. But if I had an actual 1963 or 64 Strat, I wouldn't want to gig it or anything. I have a bunch of friends with a ton of vintage guitars. One of my buddies does legitimately gig his old stuff. But I don't know. I don't know if I could do that. A birth year Strat for me would be a 3-bolt. So that would be super cool. Maybe one of those Antigua ones. That'd be pretty awesome. A birth year Strat's a great idea, actually. All right. It looks like we're caught up. What's up, Brian Duggan? Looks like we're caught up. So let's go ahead and go into number 4. I've got a custom shop 54 Tele that is a grail guitar for me. And I also want a Gretsch Penguin. Ooh, nobody's brought up a Gretsch yet. That's not on my list, but that is a very, oh my God. I completely forgot a guitar. Well, you know what? We're going to take this one out. And then this one is going to be 4. And then this one is going to be 3. Nope, this one's going to be 2 still. 3 is going to be... Okay, we have quickly revised the list. So let's get into number 4. And we've actually deleted one because I forgot a guitar that is very important to me and my collection. So here we go. I want another Martin. This is the, and I want this one, this particular one, the Martin D45 Modern Deluxe. In natural. So the Modern Deluxe series is where they've done carbon fiber pins. They've done some very interesting things to give this really vintage looking guitar and vintage, you know, it is a around for, you know, many, many, many years, but they've done a couple of things to it to make it really cool. It is beautiful. It's something that I just think is just an absolute gorgeous. It's over the top bling fest, you know, which isn't typically me on the guitar side. Usually I'm not a blingy guitar guy, but this thing is wicked, wicked cool. And this is definitely, definitely, definitely on my list of grail guitars is a D45. It's always been something that's been on my list. Let's see who else we got here. 61 LPSG. 61 LPSG. Oh yeah. Very cool. I'm not a collector and I'm not a player, so I don't care about dings and dents. Same. I don't care either. It's funny. I want shiny guitars to stay shiny. You know, I don't want to beat up my Les Paul. I don't want to beat up my blue PRS. I don't want to beat up my Silver Sky really. But my SG and my Double Cut and my other, I've got a bunch of other guitars that I want them to be beat up. I don't clean the metal so that it tarnishes properly. Like I want it to be worn. And I don't have 70 years left in my life to do that, you know? So, yeah. Oh, wow. I love this. Everybody's getting to know each other in the thing too. Very few acoustic guitars here, which I find is interesting. I guess on my honorable mentions list, I would definitely put an Esquire, an original Esquire with one pickup, the original one pickup Esquire. That would definitely be on my list. Mother of Pearl binding makes me vomit. You know what's funny? Mother of Pearl, like in a pick guard, I hate that. Anything like where it's really big, I don't like it. Like, I mean, like multiple square inches. You know what I mean? I'm not into that at all. But to me, it's not even about the... to me, it's not about the color of the thing as much as it is the work that goes into placing the pieces. So when they do a rosette and they set all those pieces in there, that is just fascinating to me. The way that's all done and the work and the inlay work and all that stuff, that is super fascinating to me. And I really, really like that. I have a lot of nice guitars, but I love my Squire Tele with Dylan T6 pickups. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it very much. That's pretty awesome. All right. Let's go on to number three. And actually, I need to Google this up because I forgot about this guitar and I did not have one ready. So give me 1 second to click it on over here and we will. We will get it going. Okay. Let's see if they've got the right one that I can show you. Well, this is close. So we will go with this. This is close. You may or may not know, probably mostly may, know that I am a massive P90 fan. And to me, the standard for all P90s is the late 50s Les Paul Jr. This guitar in TV yellow is the one that I want. Of all of them, I want a TV Yellow Jr., but I would want the proper Murphy Lab one. I probably want it a little bit more beat up than this. If I could not have a real one. Now, a real one of these is going for about $15,000 to $18,000 for a really good one now. And so $4,000 almost kind of seems okay. Like it seems like it's not that big a deal. I mean, it is, obviously, right? It is, but this is something that this is a dream guitar for me. This has been on my list for many, many years. To the point, in fact, I'll show you. To the point that if you give me just a second, I'll show you, for those of you that are new to the channel, 1 second. And for those of you that are watching, those of you that are listening on the podcast networks on Spotify and stuff, well, Spotify, you'll be able to see it, but not on Apple. Hang on. One of my viewers and good friends, Don Siltanen, built me this guitar. And it is an absolute beast of a thing. It's got my P90 in it, obviously. And we have freeze checked the finish and we added a pinup girl on the front. We added a pinup girl on the back. So this is my double cut junior for now that Don built me from scratch. This is not a kit. This is blocks of wood. He made this thing from scratch and pulled off this version of TV yellow that I actually love. It's really lemony. You know, it's a little bit greener and brighter than the normal TV yellow, but I really love it. And it is very cool. This guitar is one of my pride and joys, but this is also one of my guitars that I want it to get beat up. As we just lean it over there with no care whatsoever. So yeah, that's one of my things. All right, let's see what else we got here. I love the color that a P90 brings all my grunge roots out. For sure, dude. P90s rule. They're the best. Let's see. Gretsch White Falcon. Cool. Very cool. Very cool. Love it. Love it. Black Custom Les Paul. Absolutely love that too. A real junior is cheaper than a Murphy Lab one. Yeah, but I would want a Murphy Lab one. I don't care about Eastman. So we're talking about dream guitars here. A Chinese copy is not my dream guitar. It just isn't. It will never be. You know, if you're dreaming, dream. Don't try to get one for the, you know, for the money. Like, it's, to me, that just doesn't make sense. Would you replace the original pickups in a Les Paul Junior with your P90? I would, and I have. Yes, my P90 is better than Gibson's for sure. I have my SG Junior, which has the same pickup in it, and mine's better. Yeah, definitely. If I got a custom shop one, I'd have to play it and decide. Only because, okay. So I have a bunch of guitars now that I have not replaced the pickups in. The reason I have not replaced them is because I want to have good examples of what I am doing. So we could go, you know, we've been making our flat six Tele pickups and our P90, for example, for almost 10 years, right? If you don't have a good reference, now I have a P90 that I made a long time ago, but what I like to also have is, again, the thing that everything is trying to be or improve upon, the original thing. So now that I have those things, I like to be able to use those for a reference. So my Tele has the Fender pickups in it. My PRS has the PRS pickups in it. My Silver Sky has Silver Sky pickups in it. I have a bunch of guitars with their original pickups in them. But that is so that I can have almost like a reference library of those tones that I like. Now, if I bought a Tele and I did not like the Tele pickups in it, I would either sell that Tele for this purpose, for, you know, if I was buying it for this purpose. That's why I didn't buy a Blackguard. I bought a 64 because 63, 64, because that's the pickup generation that I want my pickups to be an improvement upon, not a 50s Blackguard. I don't care about 50s Blackguards, not super my thing. What we're shooting for is this, only better and out of modern materials and more accessible. So to have those things as a reference, that's why we do it. It's not that I wouldn't replace pickups, but I use the guitars with original pickups in them as tools for that reference. It just helps. It's a nice thing to have that reference, that an encyclopedia, I guess, of those things. So let's see. And your pickups are sensible players. Yeah, they are. Yeah. We try to stay pretty sensible with that stuff. 67 Viking 2 Hagstrom. That's pretty cool. All right. So we got through the junior. We got through the, now we're down to top two. This is pretty crazy. I have to say that I am absolutely over the moon for this guitar. My friend has a 1982 custom shop or whatever they called it back then, one of these, and I cannot get in his will to get this guitar. Because no lie, this is literally, this may be the next quote unquote grail guitar that I own, but I'm probably not going to be able to, or in a position to immediately buy the one I'm about to show you. I want a 57 gold top, worse than just about anything. I almost bought a 57 gold top, you know, but not a custom shop one, just a normal Gibson one, instead of my slash Les Paul. But since Leslie and I both have like a personal connection to Guns N' Roses, and Slash and et cetera, that's why I followed through with the November Rain guitar. But this will be my next Les Paul. I will have a gold top Les Paul. I don't know if I will be in a position, obviously, not to buy a regular, a real 57. But if I could buy a Murphy Lab 57, like this one right you see here in front of you, this would be, oh my God, I want it. You have no idea. And what's really weird is I don't actually play Les Pauls that much, but the point of it to me is to have this. To me, I understand and I know that for most people, the standard for Les Pauls is the 59 burst. But for me, it's the 57 because I'm a pickup guy. And when we start talking about 56 into 57, it is the beginning of what the humbucker really was, right? And so that's where I am. That's what I want because that is the beginning of the good PAF, number one. And number two, there's something about a 57 gold top for me, because the color, it was done in such a way that it actually turned green, right? And B, that it's a burst that's been painted, more or less. And so the history of it and the place in history, to me, the 57 is the one. I know a lot of people want 59s. If I had an opportunity to buy a 59, obviously I would, but I don't have that kind of money. But if I was to have the choice, if you were to say, I'm going to give you one or the other, but you have to keep it forever, I would want a 57 over a 59 because of its place in history. And, that's really where I'm at. Pelham Blue SG. Ooh. Oh, you know, another runner up on this list would be Trini Lopez in Pelham Blue. So Dave Grohl's guitar, basically. I want one of those too. You need a Mike Ness. Yeah, a Mike Ness Les Paul would be really cool too, wouldn't it? No gold hardware. No. I'm not a gold hardware. I'm not a gold hardware guy. I think there's a couple of guitars that it matters. You know, obviously you want a custom to be, you know, like a Black Beauty to be gold hardware. That makes sense. There are some guitars that look good with gold hardware, but I'm not typically a gold hardware guy. Every once in a while, when we were building a lot of tellies, I built a couple of white tellies with gold hardware, and they were really pretty. I built one a white telly with gold Bigsby on it, and it was really beautiful. That guitar was really pretty. But I'm typically not a fan. Let's see. I'm so cute. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thoughts on roasted maple necks? They're amazing. I love them. I love them. I love them. Absolutely. Great stability. The only thing you got to worry about with maple necks or roasted maple necks or anything torrified like that is that you don't strip out screw holes when you assemble. You know, when you put tuners on them and stuff. Other than that, they're great. I like them. I don't put finish on mine. I just play them that way. I don't put finish on them at all. Maybe some oil, but I would rather even not do that. I'd rather just leave them completely raw. Yeah. Lucille is the only gold guitar, only old guitar for gold hardware. Oh, see, okay, there you go. So the black and gold thing. I feel ya. That being said, if you gave me the choice between like a 64 335 in red, like the normal red one, or a Lucille in black and gold, I would go 335 in red. But that's just me. Thought on passive treble bass cut in a Strat. I'm never going to be a bass treble bleed guy. That is never going to be my jam. Here's the problem. When you're looking at peanut, when you're looking at pickups and you go to bring the volume down, the natural tendency for that as it comes closer to 0 ohms with the volume knob is for it to cut out high frequencies, right? Because the high frequencies are the first things to go. So they're going to go no matter what you do. Now, if you add another capacitor and a resistor, it starts to take out the low frequencies from the other way. The problem is that the high frequencies are still going away. So what you're really doing is you're doubly thinning out your signal from both ends. What I feel I like is that it depends on the pickups. Now, I have a couple of guitars with them that came with them from the factory, and I've not taken them out. But as a rule, I don't like them because I think they get too thin at lower volumes. So it depends how you play the guitar. If you use your volume knob a lot, I would say don't have one and understand that feeling and that change as the volume knob comes down. You know, if you're up and down a lot. Otherwise, it's just too drastic for me, in my opinion. All right. Are you guys ready for my number one Grail guitar? I wonder if anybody's guessed it. I wonder if anyone has guessed my Grail guitar. I'm going to give you just a minute to see. Maybe there's another guitar question in here or two that we can get to see if you have guessed what my number one Grail guitar of all time is. If LPs are boring, you switch to 498T. Nah, I make my own pickups, dude. We make great pickups, and so I don't really care about that. Would you switch the pickups on the gold top? If it was a custom shop one and it sounded good, no. If it's any other Les Paul, regular Les Paul, yes. Yes, absolutely. Nope, not a Tele. Not a Tele. All right. Well, some of you are going to go, oh, yeah, duh, when you see this. And this will be in my future. I will save up for this and figure out how to handle one of these at some point. So if you are ready, this is a McPherson. Well, it's not their Camriel. That's the pointy one. This is a McPherson acoustic guitar. This particular one is Macassar Ebony with an Engelmann spruce top. This guitar, I believe, is $12,000. Yep, $11,700. At McPherson, now I already own two McPhersons, but I have the carbon fiber ones. At McPherson, there's no such thing as quality control. It's either perfect or it's not. You do not get a McPherson and say, oh, it's perfect, except for, you just do not say that. There is nothing. There's nothing. Everything is perfect. These are the most perfect guitars I have ever seen, ever played. They are absolutely flawless. There's no pencil marks. There's no glue drips. There's no rough edges. There's no nothing. These guitars are perfect and they stay in tune perfectly and they sound incredible. They are engineered in such a way that no other acoustic guitar is. When they do this rosette around this D-shaped sound hole, there is no seam in this. They put a solid piece of wood in here and then they cut it out so that there is no seam on this rosette. That's the kind of stuff. I mean, this thing is unbelievable. And if you ever get to play one, they're phenomenal guitars. And they have no truss rod. They have a carbon fiber reinforcement. They need no truss rod. The setup is always perfect. Everything is perfect. These guitars are absolutely incredible. This is my number one. This is what I want. And it's weird to say because, you know, I'm Dylan Talks Tone and pickups and all that stuff. But when it comes down to it, I want an acoustic guitar. That's where I'm at. I want an acoustic guitar. I'd never be able to keep that thing properly humidified where I live. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Sorry, son, I had to use your college money. Fortunately, neither of my kids went to school and they have jobs and they're totally fine and I don't need to worry about that. Nice hole to lose your pick in, but you don't lose your hole in that pick that you don't lose your pick in that hole because it's not in the same place. I have a McPherson, carbon fiber guitar already, and you can't really lose your pick in it. It's pretty awesome. Yep. That thing is, that's where I'm going. Let's see. Double neck Jimmy Page. Love it. Dan Armstrong. Nope. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah, so there you go. If you have any questions, get them in here. And we can answer a couple of guitar questions if you want for a few minutes. But that is my top five. It's been fun to hear yours as well. On these things, is a 335 on your list? You know, it's not a grail guitar for me, but I'll grab one. That is on my list to buy, but it's not, this is like, it sounds bad to say, but a 335 is just kind of an attainable guitar for me. Like I can just go get one. And we just like write it off cause it's what I do. And it's kind of within the bounds of normal daily life. These guitars that I gave you are things that I would really have to plan for some years. You know what I mean? Like you would have to 12 grand for a guitar. There's a lot of other things that I could spend money on before I spent $12,000 for a guitar. So, you'd have to be in a very good place in life to be able to afford that or to be able to be even not even afford, but to be willing to spend and put that money aside for that, you know? So that's a thing where a 335 is just kind of I can just go get one of those for work and we can just call it for work and it's totally fine. Where the McPherson, and even the Martin, when I buy acoustic guitars for me, they have less relevancy to the channel. They have less relevancy to what we do for a living. So it's kind of harder for me to make those purchases because there's no pickup testing to do. You know what I mean? There's no, like the other guitars, for example, like the Tellys and stuff and the Strats and that kind of stuff. Like we talked about earlier, I like to have those for examples. And it's, you know, we use those guitars almost daily. Like I play them a lot. I think about them a lot. I listen to them. I think about what we're doing. I take measurements, all those kinds of things. But with a $12,000 acoustic guitar, it's not really relevant to the normal goings on of daily life, you know, where on a random Tuesday, I'm like, oh, let me grab that Tele and see, you know, blah, 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 and compare it to something that I'm doing on the bench, where you wouldn't do that with a McPherson, at least not in my business. You know, if you were an acoustic luthier, or if you were somebody who did acoustic setups for a living, or if you did something like that, you could justify it, but that's just not where I'm at. So that's kind of the thing. How about an amp that you would use for the McPherson guitar? I wouldn't. It comes with a pickup, but I wouldn't plug it in. I don't plug my acoustics in very often. My McPherson Sable that I have now, which is, it's not as expensive. They're about $4,000 and it's all carbon fiber. You've seen it on the channel before, probably if you follow the channel. That's the guitar that if I take it out for like an open mic night or something, because I'm not really gigging right now because we're too busy to practice really. So, but I'll go out for an open mic night once in a while and I'll take my carbon fiber guitar because I don't have to worry about it. you know, it just, it could be snowing outside and it just doesn't matter. But my other acoustics, I don't really take them out to gig. They're just for me. Because as much as we talk about electric guitar stuff and how electric guitars work and all that kind of stuff, acoustic guitars are where it's at for me. It's what I spend the most time playing, actually. Have you ever demoed all of your pickups? We are going through that process right now, actually. We have, so yes and no. Every one of, if you go to DylanTalksTone.com, most of the web pages with products on them have a video from YouTube with those pickups. So in that respect, there are demos of most of our stuff. And right now we're doing a thing on Fridays where we go through each one of our pickups, like selections, you know, like Tele stuff, Strat. We've done Tele stuff and Strat stuff so far. We're going to do humbuckers this Friday. We really explain deeply the full product line and where everything fits in and what you would buy for what and recommendations and stuff. So if you go to our website, like for example, I'll show you real quick, actually. This is easy enough to just show you because I have a thing that does it. So if you go to our website right now, of course, this is, you know, this is where we are. Dylan Talks Tone. You come up here to shop. And if you go to Strat stuff, for example, the video that we just made, this video, I'm not going to click on it, but that video is about 6 or 7 minutes long and it fully explains each of our products, what each one of them does, and which one you should buy for what applications. That's what that video does. And then if you go into any of these products, you will see for like our Bonneville pickups and you scroll down here, there is a YouTube video that features those pickups where you can hear those pickups for most of our products. We don't have all of them done, but most of them, and it's something that I am actively working on right now to complete. Time for a DTT piezo. You know, people have asked me about acoustic guitar pickups, and it's one of those things where I know what I'm good at, and I'm not good at that. And I'll let LR Bags take care of that, or I'll let Cole Clark take care of that stuff because they make great stuff. We make it fantastic Strat pickups, humbuckers, P90s, and Tele pickups. That's our bread and butter, and that's what we know what we're doing. And so I, you know, that's kind of where I'm at. Let's see. I might want a DAF 4. My Epi 335, dude, that's the jam. That's what I would put in there. Anybody says, I have a Sheridan, I have an Epiphone 335, I have anything like that, I always direct them to the DAF. That is the jam. Do not get the one that's not wax potted and put it in a hollow body guitar, though. Get the regular wax potted one. The DAF is that's our PAF. Stands for Dylan Applied For. It was Jimmy Soldo at Jersey Shore Guitar Garage's idea to call it that. And that's what it is. It's like 7.6, 7.8K, something like that. Alnico 5s. They sound fantastic. You can get them open or closed or whatever you want. We have some special edition ones. On the front page of our website, you go down towards the bottom. And there's a, I'll just show you. Since we're talking about this, I'm really excited about this. We put this section in on our website and I'm stoked about it because I'm having fun making the stuff. So on our website at Dylan Talks Tone, if you scroll down here, you'll see the Dylan Talks Tone pickup vault. Okay. And in here is some limited edition stuff. Now we may only do one set of this stuff when it'll tell you on each of these pages, but we'll do one set. We'll do maybe 10 sets. We'll do a few sets of each thing at a time. So for example, we've got our whiteout DAF and Super 8s. So if you want all white, you can get that. We've got our blackout ones that are, those are Super 8 humbuckers, and those are all black, black screws, black pull pieces, everything. We have the P90s from the Gretsch video yesterday. I think we have, I don't know, we sold 3 or 4 sets of those, so maybe we have 5 or 6 sets left. Of those, And of course, they're wound like our normal P90s. They're just really fancy on the outside. For an extra $20, because it takes me a little extra time to make the covers, you know? And then like our clear humbuckers here. So for example, these clear humbuckers, you can get those in any one of our pickup. So our Thruxtons, our Smoothies, our Super 8s, our DAFs, our 8-Balls, or our Center Punches, you can get a set of clear bobbin humbuckers. In fact, I'm working on a set of those today. So, five sets of those today. So, you know, those are the kinds of things, just to give you an idea, that we're doing in this particular little section. So check back on that from time to time, because that's going to be changing up from time to time, so that you don't miss any of that cool stuff that we've got going there. I've been thinking about doing like an email to let people know when stuff's on there so they don't miss it. Because some of the stuff's, you know, we had a gold set of those pickup, those P90s, those mesh P90s. We had a gold set of them. They lasted like 2 hours. You know what I mean? So they just go so quick. And if you're on Patreon, patreon.com/DylanTalksTone, or a YouTube member, I typically will put that stuff on Patreon first and let people have a crack at it. Because on Patreon, we give everybody a 10% discount. There's a discount code if you're on Patreon. So I usually give them first crack at it. So I think that's what happened. I think those ones didn't last very long. So, well, very cool, you guys. It's been super fun. Electric violin. Wow, that's really cool, man. Electric violin is neat. Thoughts on iconic guitars going under because of BC Rich? I did not watch that video. I'm bummed out about Iconic because one of my friends is an artist with Iconic, and they make really, really cool guitars. So I'm not sure. Do you make Jag pickups? We do. If you don't see them on the website somewhere, just shoot me a message on the little chat thing down in the right corner, and we'll get you sorted. Yep. Cool, man. You guys, it's been super fun. Thanks for talking about dream guitars with me today. This has been great. I absolutely love it. You know, the way we talk about stuff is important, and I want to make sure that we're dreaming and we're pushing forward and we're having fun. I don't want to worry about the cheapest guitar in the room and the race to the bottom. I want people to enjoy playing guitar. And if we have to buy expensive stuff because that's where we are, that's totally fine. But keep dreaming, man, because that's what we do. This is about creativity and thinking about like what's cool, not how you can tell somebody you got a better deal than them on some knockoff thing. You know what I mean? Like that just turns into an argument. Like how are you being creative with the thing? You guys, it's been great. We will see you on Thursday night for our live stream.